Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I just want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. That's what's coming this coming Sunday. And you guys, that if you haven't remembered, go out and find something for your mother or for your wife, and let them know that you appreciate them very much. I will be preaching this Sunday, Lord willing, in the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook. I'm going to be talking about My Mother is the Most Beautiful Woman in the World. And you might want to come and talk or listen to what I've got to say, because I think it's kind of interesting and I would just encourage you. I want to talk today about the mother of James and John. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 23, reading from the ESV, "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, 'What do you want?' She said to him, 'Say that these two sons of mine are to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom.' Jesus answered, 'You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?' They said to him, 'We are able.' He said to them, 'You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, it is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared by my Father.'" Mothers are very, very special people. Mothers are teachers, disciplinarians, cleaning ladies, gardeners, lawnmowers. Most moms understand that baking cookies is more important than washing windows. A mom is a nurse, doctor, psychologist, counselor, chauffeur, coach, developer of personalities, molder of vocabularies, and a shaper of attitudes. Mothers are soft voices saying, "I love you." Mothers are a child's first impression of God's love. Mothers are all these things and much, much more. Irma Bombeck said the day God created mothers, he'd already worked long overtime. An angel said, "Lord, you're sure spending a lot of time on this one." God said, "Have you read the specs on this model? She's to be completely washable, but not plastic. She's to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She's to have a kiss that'll heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She's to have a lap that'll disappear whenever she stands up. She's to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. And she's supposed to have 6 pairs of hands. 6 pairs of hands, said the angel. "That's impossible." "It's not the 6 pairs of hands that bother me," God said. "It's the 3 pairs of eyes. She's supposed to have 1 pair that sees through closed doors to see whatever she says, or through closed doors so that whenever she says, 'What are you kids doing in there?' she already knows what they're doing in there. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all the things she's not supposed to see, but must see. And she has 1 pair right in front that can look at a child just after the child goofed and communicate love and understanding without saying a word." "That's too much," the angel said. "You can't put that much in one model. Why don't you rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow?" "No, I can't," said the Lord. I'm close to creating someone very, very much like myself. I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she's sick, who can feed a family of 6 with 1 pound of hamburger, and who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower." The angel looked at the model of motherhood more closely and said, "She's too soft." "Oh, but she's tough," said the Lord. "You'd be surprised how much this mother can do." "Can she think?" the angel asked. "Not only can she think, she can reason and compromise and persuade." The angel touched her cheek. "This one has a leak," he said. "I told you that you couldn't put that much in one model." "That's not a leak," God said. "That's a tear." "What's a tear for?" asked the angel. "It's for joy, for sadness, for sorrow, for disappointment or pride." "Well, you're a genius," said the angel. And the Lord said, "Oh, but I didn't put it there." Knowing this, we can better understand Mrs. Zebedee, James and John's mother, for her request to Jesus. Remember, I read it before, but let's do it again. Matthew 20, 20 through 23. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "Well, you will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." Mrs. Zebedee knew what Jesus said about his kingdom. She knew her boys were among his closest friends, that they were two-thirds of the inner circle that was with Jesus most of the time, Peter, James, and John. When Jesus formed his kingdom, she wanted them to have responsibility and authority. At the beginning of this chapter, Jesus told a story that must have disturbed her. A landowner went to find laborers early in the morning. They agreed upon a fair day's wage and started working. At noon, he went and found more workers, and they started working. And towards evening, he found more workers, and they started working. When the Lord paid them at the end of the day, they all received the same wage. Mrs. Zebedee must have wondered, will James and John really have positions of authority in Jesus' kingdom? She asked Jesus for a favor. "When you establish your kingdom, I'd like my two sons to have seats on your right and left hand." What? What a presumptuous old lady, we think. How could she do that? I mean, the rest of the disciples were irritated about this too. But since it's Mother's Day, maybe we should think some more positive things about Mrs. Zebedee. Notice, when she came to Jesus, while Jesus didn't grant her her request, neither did he deny it. He reminded her of the cost of being seated on the right or left and told her the Father decides who sits there. She prayed her sons might be a part of the kingdom. There are some good things about Mrs. Zebedee. First, she prayed to Jesus that her sons would have a part of his kingdom. You know, there's not a more important job for a mother than to pray that your children are part of God's kingdom. Many mothers pray, sometimes out of necessity, sometimes because that being a mom isn't easy, but extremely difficult. Dr. Dobson told years ago of coming home when their son Ryan, who now is an adult man, but when he was a baby, it had been a terrible day for his wife. Ryan had been sick and had cried all day long. She was changing his diapers. The telephone rang, and Shirley reached to answer the phone before fastening his diapers, and just then Ryan had an attack of diarrhea. She cleaned up that mess and put him in clean, sweet-smelling clothes. Then she fed him, and as she was burping him, he threw up all over her and the couch. Dobson said, "When I came home, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere." Shirley cried out to him, "Was all this in my contract?" Sometimes mothers pray out of the frustration. Sometimes in the frustration of trying to teach our children, we realize the difficulties of communication. A man told his two-year-old son to watch his baby sister Susan while he stepped out of the room. He'd been gone a few moments when he heard a thump and Susan started crying. He raced in to find that Susan had fallen off the couch and sprawled on the floor. The son sat there looking so innocent. The dad said, "I told you to watch her." The boy said, "I did." He watched her fall. He watched her cry. He did exactly what he was told to do. You know, parenting isn't easy. Sometimes there's joy and sometimes there's sadness. Sometimes your children make you proud. Other times you can't find enough handkerchiefs to dry your tears. What good is it if your children are successful and making money and driving fine cars and living in good neighborhoods, but don't know God. Matthew 16:26 says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits his own soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Being a parent isn't easy, but Mrs. Zebedee gave a great example, for she prayed her sons would be a part of Christ's kingdom. We need that burden for our children. I hope that every mother and father listening to this podcast has a burden to pray for your children to be saved from eternal damnation and saved for eternal life. Then she prayed her sons would be involved in the work of his kingdom. Second, not only did Mrs. Zebedee pray her children to be a part of his kingdom, but she prayed that they'd be actively involved in the work of his kingdom. It's not enough just to be saved. Churches are full of people just wanting to fill a pew on Sunday mornings, just wanting to watch. Plenty of people are willing to sit back and soak in the blessings, but seldom get involved in doing the real work of the church. Where does the spirit of service begin? It begins at home, with moms and dads setting the example and praying their children will get involved in the work of the kingdom, hoping that they might be the ones to reach the lost, to see the church continue until Jesus comes again. Mrs. Zebedee prayed her boys would be actively involved in the work of God's kingdom. We need to do that too. Mrs. Zebedee had big expectations. She didn't just pray her boys would be doorkeepers. She wanted them to be right hand and left hand of Jesus, right there where they could serve and be the most help to Jesus Christ. You know, there's no higher positions than to be on the right and left of the King himself. That's what she wanted for her sons. We accuse Mrs. Zebedee of being brash and presumptuous, but I admire her boldness. Too often we settle for mediocrity in the church. We're content with just barely making it through the door, to sit back and just watch things happen. It's time we took our position as leaders, molding and fashioning the outreach of the church, making sure Christ's message goes into the whole world here. It's time to strive for excellence, to reach the very best there is. Jesus calls us to be his disciples, to be effective laborers in his kingdom. Remember Irma Bombeck had God saying as he created a mother, "I'm close to creating something very much like myself." Well, that's why today is special, because Mother's Day, a mother's love is probably the closest example we have to God's love. It's a love that goes through the valley of the shadow of death to bring life into being. It's a love that sacrifices over and over again and would even lay down its life for its young. There was a story from World War II and the Holocaust. Solomon Rosenberg, his wife, two sons, and his mother and father were arrested and put in Nazi concentration labor camp. The rules were simple. As long as you can work, you're permitted to live. When you're too weak to work, you're exterminated. Rosenberg watched his parents marched off to their deaths, and he knew his youngest son David would be next because David was a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg came into the barracks after his labor and searched for the faces of his family. When he found them, they'd huddle together, embrace, and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg didn't see those familiar faces. He found his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled and weeping and praying. He said, "Josh, don't tell me. It's not true." Joshua turned and said, "It's true, Papa. Today, David wasn't strong enough to do his work, and they came for him." "Well, where's your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa, when they came for David, he was afraid and cried. And Mama said, 'There's nothing to be afraid of, David.' And she took his hand and went off with him." You know, that's motherhood. Mothers, this is your day. God bless you. I pray if you've never experienced the love of God that's so close to the love of a mother, this will be your day of decision. If you've had to walk through the valley alone so many times, you'll see a hand reaching out saying, "There's nothing to be afraid of. I'll go with you." Psalm 23:4 said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You know, I was thinking about sometimes we have to go through very deep ravines, very deep things, but we can always depend on Jesus Christ being there to help us through. And I know, you know, if you've got a good mother, that she's going to be right there too, but there's nothing that can take a place of the love of God. If you don't know Him as your personal Savior, I would recommend that just as soon as you can, like now the Bible says the day of salvation, I would just say to you, you need to find Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to have your heart changed, and you need to know that you're on your way to heaven to live for Him with all through all eternity. God bless you. I want to pray. Dear Father, I'd pray that you help each one listening to this broadcast, whether they be mother, father, grandparents, or whatever, that you'll help them to realize the responsibility they have not only for themselves, but for their families, to live holy lives dedicated to Jesus Christ. I would ask God each one will find you as their personal Savior. And bless the mothers this weekend. Help them, Lord, to know that we appreciate them. Help them to feel the love of God. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Again, I am preaching at the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook on the corner of First Avenue in Buffalo. I would invite you to come. We're having potluck this Sunday, too. And, you know, if you enjoy getting together with good friends and having a good meal, this would be a good time for you to come and fellowship and get to know the church and get to know a place where you would be abundantly welcome. God bless you. If you need to get a hold of me, write to me, Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can call me at my phone, 623-842-2741. And you'd be able to either text me or call me, and I'll try to respond to you. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day, and we'll talk to you later.